This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm Anthony Gucciardi, and I'll tell you what, you don't need to watch the Super Bowl because the real battle for this country and the entire planet is right here. This is it. We're going to break down the latest from last night's debates and newest election news. We've got someone on the ground, actually, and they're going to give us a report, as well as Alex is going to be joining in and calling to give his view on last night's debates and the election at large. The stacks of news today are completely mind-blowing. Completely mind-blowing. Such as a key figure saying there's a special place in hell for women who don't support Hillary, and how Trump's lead in New Hampshire is actually growing despite all of the attacks. We've also got Rob Dew riding shotgun for the entire show today. It's going to be really, really exciting. Let me tell you, more exciting and more meaningful and more important than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I totally agree. And here's we're going to get to Super Bowl security in a second. We have a video we produced earlier this week, but this is from WGN TV in Chicago. Unprecedented security at Super Bowl 50. So we have this fake gladiatorial event, this mock battle, 60 different agencies, state, federal, and local agencies descend upon San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. So all the security apparatus, but we can't get it done at the border. We keep the borders wide open, but we got to lock down the Super Bowl. And that's just to teach people that they're slaves, because they're going to have face reading cameras. They're going to be checking every truck that comes through, probably with those X-ray vans that they've shown in the past. I mean, it is just literally turning us into an Orwellian police state while the border stays wide open and they pretend they don't know how to shut it.
Well, that's because the Super Bowl is the most important thing. And look, I want to be clear. I'm not going to sit up here and trash people that watch the Super Bowl and enjoy it with their friends and family, right? But there's 120 plus million people that are going to watch the Super Bowl tonight. And that's actually an incorrect number, because if you think about 100 plus people at a bar or whatever, it's only one television or a few televisions. So it's really, they say, around 180 plus million that watch it. But imagine if those people actually cared about something that matters as much as they care about the Super Bowl. Imagine if they actually tuned into this program for a couple hours instead of watching the Super Bowl as a whole. We've got a lot of special reports and information on the Super Bowl, including how many hundreds of millions of pounds of processed food are eaten every single time the Super Bowl goes on, so you can visualize that. But also, we've got a lot more news, such as Democratic donor contacts Biden just begging about a possible run because Hillary's losing so bad. Is this the end for Jeb Bush? New Hampshire may be now or never for Jeb Bush, and a bunch of other special reports, and especially the debates. If you watched at all, and if you didn't, it's fine, because we're going to play you the highlights. The biggest thing for me was Marco Rubio being called out by Chris Christie for having the most canned fake speeches ever. Yeah. And then he did it. He did it over and over again. We have an awesome highlight the guys put together. It's awesome. That shows just how fake he is, because he repeats the same 20-second liners over and over again. And when he was called out on repeating the same liner, he repeated it again because he didn't know what to say. He wasn't authorized to respond in any other way.
He's a teleprompter reading puppet.
He really is, but the teleprompter's in his head. It's almost like he goes into brainwashing and he comes out and he's like, yes, the orders will be followed. And he comes out and says the same thing over and over. It's totally ridiculous. It's totally, totally absurd. So we've got those clips and more. We've also got some Barbara Bush, I'm sick of Donald Trump. Cruz apologizes to Carson.
I'm sick of the Bushes,
Did
Barbara.
You see that, the apology? Oh, yeah, well, yeah. We're sorry, but not really. We didn't do anything wrong. CNN did it. And then it turns out CNN a minute later said that it wasn't the case when they said it was hours later. It was totally absurd. We've got all of this coming up. This is the Sunday edition of The Alex Jones Show. Anthony Gucciardi here with Rob Dew. Alex will be calling in with his take on the elections. We'll be back right after this break.
On corruption. action. It's Alex Jones.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. This is the Alex Jones Show, and you better turn your television off because this is way more important. The real battle for this country and the battle for this planet is right here, and you're in it. I'm Anthony Gucciardi, and I'm getting co-hosting today with Rob Dew. Again, this is the Alex Jones Show, the Sunday edition. And man, we've
Let's dispel this fiction that Barack Obama does not know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he was doing.
Is that Marco Rubio over there? If you watched the debates, if you did not, doesn't matter. We've got the best highlights for you. And some of them just blow my mind. And we're going to play several up here in a second for you. But if you watched, Marco Rubio, I think, really is a robot with human skin that has some type of a teleprompter in his head. He just memorizes things and just spits them out. And when confronted, he does the same thing. We've also got a ton of news about Trump's lead in New Hampshire, what's going on there. Some special figure recently just said that there's a special place in hell for women who don't support Hillary. And Biden being begged to join the race. We've got a lot of news. But first, we're going to go ahead and bring you up to speed with some of these clips. And some of these are just tremendously mind-blowing to me. We've also got Alex calling in later in the show to give his take on the debates and what's going on with the election. And InfoWars reporter Richard Reeves is on the ground. We're going to go to him at the bottom of the hour. And he's actually on the ground with a report. He says that Trump, there was some dirty tricks against Trump that he's going to break on the show today. Now, first, to start it off, bring you guys up to speed or give you a flashback. You know, Rubio was accused of repeating the same line over and over again by Chris Christie, which is, I think, one of the most amazing things Chris Christie's ever done in the debates. And it was majestically pointed out when Rubio responded with pretty much the same thing after the accusation. Let's go to this clip where Rubio repeats the same rehearsed line five times.
With this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. This notion that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing is just not
true. There it is.
Let's dispel with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is trying to change this country. He wants America to become more like the rest of the world. Anyone who believes that Barack Obama isn't doing what he's doing on purpose doesn't understand what we're dealing with here.
Wow, there it is. And I watched this live myself, and I was thinking throughout, I was like, wow, he's repeating the same thing over and over again. And then Chris Christie says, hey, all you do is run scripted lines. And he goes, well, no, let's talk about what Barack Obama is doing here. It was over the top. It was truly over the top. And this links in with a report that Alex actually just shared with me earlier. He said, look, this is on InfoWars.com. This is really important, where InfoWars asks Rubio about the TPP, which, of course, the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership, which in many ways destroys a lot of trade. He was asked about the TPP, and he has a very interesting response.
Well, and also before that, they show in the video what he said at the Council on Foreign Relations about a year before, where he's like, we need to fast track, we need to get TPP into the hands so we can get it voted on and get it moving. He was all about getting it moving.
So he's all about
it. Big supporter of it. But now on the campaign trail, now that he knows that people actually understand, they're not just robots. Right. People aren't just regurgitating what he's saying. They're actually looking and going, wait a minute, why has this thing been in secret? Why is it still in secret? And he wants to go, well, we're going to wait till May. But anyway, you can see it from him, from the robot himself.
Well, let's go to this video where Marco Rubio responds to questions on the TPP.
It is more important than ever that Congress give the president trade promotion authority so that he can finalize the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership.
Thank you, Senator Rubio. Last year you spoke at a Council on Foreign Relations meeting, and you were a big proponent of the TPP. And I was just wondering, the TPP diminishes our U.S. sovereignty and also potentially destroys our borders.
Well, I'm a supporter. No, I'm a supporter of free trade. I have to see if this deal is a good deal. It's being reviewed now by the International Trade Commission. So if it's a good deal, I'll support it. If it's not, it has to be renegotiated.
Okay. Well, at what point does it get seen? Because it's been kept secret.
No, it's out there. The International Trade Commission was reviewing it. They'll issue their report in May. So until then, I'm not even going to take a position on it. So I got to see what the deal. I got to see all. It's 5,000 pages.
So it's right, very it's 5,000 pages.
Yeah.
So have you been able to read all 5,000
no,
pages?
No, and I'm not going to even try until the IT, because if the International Trade Commission
it comes back and finds that it's not good for America, or I'll have to go back and renegotiate.
So basically, you would promise the
American... Sir, we got a bunch of people waiting, so if you don't mind.
Thank you.
What about his past support of the TPP, which could endanger U.S. sovereignty and open up the floodgates of immigration? What about that?
Well, I don't think he's voted on TPP. He voted on TPA, which allows us to consider TPP, but we haven't voted on TPP yet.
He also spoke at the Council on Foreign Relations and was a big proponent of it there.
Well, I can't speak to that because I wasn't there.
Okay.
So if you can find a candidate that's perfect, let me know, because there's only been one and he ain't running. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, there you go. That's Richard Reeves asking about the TPP. And
Who's the perfect candidate?
I was going to wonder who the perfect candidate is also. I mean, and he's not running? Well, I don't know. Maybe he meant Obama. I'm not really sure. Anyway, these are some highlights from the debate last night and also some InfoWars exclusives. Another one we're going to play is, you're all probably familiar with how Ted Cruz tweeted out and called voters in Iowa and said, well, Ben Carson is dropping out, so vote for me. He's out of the race, guys. And some background on that is CNN apparently reported that Carson had considered dropping out of the race or was taking a retirement or something. But a minute later, according to Carson and CNN, said, oh, that's actually not true. But Cruz's campaign ran with it, and it wasn't until about hours and hours later when it was too late. They said, oh, actually, he's still in the race. So here's his very insincere apology to Carson, and here's what Carson says.
Ben is a good and honorable man, and Ben and Candy have become friends. He has an amazing life story that has inspired millions, including me. When this transpired, I apologized to him then, and I do so now. Ben, I'm sorry. Let me tell you the facts of what occurred for those who are interested in knowing. On Monday night, about 6:30 p.m., CNN reported that Ben was not going from Iowa to New Hampshire or South Carolina. Rather, he was, quote, taking a break from campaigning. They reported that on television. CNN's political anchors, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash and Wolf Blitzer, said it was highly unusual and highly significant. My political team saw CNN's report breaking news, and they forwarded that news to our volunteers. It was being covered on live television. Now, at the time, I was at the caucuses. I was getting ready to speak at the caucuses, just like Ben was, just like everyone else was. I knew nothing about this. A couple hours later, I found out about it. I was told that Ben was unhappy. I called him that evening because I respect him very, very highly. I didn't reach him that evening. I reached him the next day and apologized. He asked me then, he said, Ted, would you make this apology in public? I said, yes, I will. And I did so. I regret that subsequently CNN reported on that. They didn't correct that story until 9:15 that night. So from 6:30 p.m. to 9:15, that's what CNN was reporting. Subsequent to that initial report, Ben's campaign put out a statement saying that he was not suspending his campaign. I wish that our campaign staff had forwarded that statement. They were unaware of it. I wish that they had. That's why I apologized.
Senator Cruz, thank you. We're going to move on here. Back to the issues.
Since I was mentioned.
Dr. Carson, please.
This is great. You guys, I want you to all mention me when you say something. the timeline indicates that initial tweet from CNN was followed by another one within 1 minute that clarified that I was not dropping out. So what happened to that one, it is unclear. But the bottom line is, we can see what happened, everybody can see what happened, and you can make your own judgment.
Dr. Carson,
thank you.
Yeah, you can make your own judgment. And as he goes on to say, I believe it was, he said it was an example of Washington politics. Rob, you know, we were talking a little bit during the video. It's so wild to me that people like Ted Cruz, they just seem like they're so fake. And don't people want real? People want reality. They want people that seem at least somewhat personable, you know, just somewhat normal, speak like a regular human being.
Which is why I think you see people like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, who, even though Sanders is a raving socialist and I would never vote for him, he's a lot more real than Hillary Clinton. If out of those two choices, he's more real, even though, you know, he's going to tax the daylights out of you. And Trump's real. Ted Cruz, I'm sorry I just stabbed you in the back. I'm going to pull this bloody knife out and stab it in again one more time. I'm sorry.
All right, we've got some more highlights coming up, and we'll be back after this break with more news and special reports.
aligns himself with the truth. And it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Bad luck when That's right, it's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Anthony Gucciardi here with Rob Dew for the remainder of the program. And Alex is supposed to call in and give us his opinion on the debate last night and what he sees going on with the elections. But first and foremost, we want to cover some news, including a very particular headline that caught my attention when I came in today, and that is Madeleine Albright saying there's a special place in hell for women who don't support Hillary. And this is no joke. This is from the American Mirror. Democratic women are issuing every threat imaginable in their effort to save Hillary Clinton's candidacy in New Hampshire. During an appearance with a candidate Saturday afternoon, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright warned women of dire consequences if they don't support her preferred candidate. We've actually got the video here for you. She said there's a special place in hell if you don't support Hillary Clinton. Let's go to this video.
We can tell our story about how we climb the ladder, and a lot of you younger women don't think you have to. It's been done. It's not done, and you have to help. Hillary Clinton will always be there for you, and just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Wow, that's really funny. If you don't vote for Hillary Clinton just because she's a female, then you're going to go to hell. Well, by that logic, I think if you're a male and you don't vote for one of the male Republican candidates, you're going to hell. Could you imagine if someone said that? That would be pretty offensive, wouldn't
Back in 2012, Anthony, Madeleine Albright said it was worth the 500,000 dead Iraqi children, that it was worth that we went in there into Iraq. She said it was worth it. So she believes that killing 500,000 kids in the name of securing an oil empire and taking out a sovereign nation is worth it. So that's who, if you're getting your advice from Madeleine Albright, that's who you're getting your advice from. Someone who thinks killing 500,000 children is worth it.
Yeah, look at that headline. Madeleine Albright says 500,000 dead Iraqi children were worth it.
And she won the Medal of Freedom. Yeah, it's like a Nobel Peace Prize.
Won the Medal of Freedom. Yeah, well, 500,000 dead children of any kind are not worth it to me, or 1,001 dead child. Especially considering that, obviously, we all know about the Iraq war. And, you know, talking about that, we were talking in the break. I want to cover that before we get to this headline story. Trump's lead in New Hampshire grows while Sanders' edge shrinks. Let's talk about Bernie Sanders for a second, right? The war on Iraq. I understand. I'm going to say something that's going to get me lynched right now. Okay? Grob, you're actually going to hate me, too. I understand why people like Bernie Sanders. I really do. Because if you look at his policy, besides the give wealth redistribution
free.
Part that most people
give
don't understand, there's that angle, right? There's the angle, oh, he'll give us everything free. But if there is an angle where he is against the wars, he is against the NSA spying, right. He is against the Patriot Act, he is against many things that he pushes out there, because I've spoken to Bernie supporters, and they say, well, it sounds like, Anthony, he's actually in line with what you believe, because he's against the spying and some of the big government, big brother things. But then they just don't understand the rest of it is the key part. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Your free health care is not free.
Right.
Your free college is not free. Somebody's got to pay for it. Now, if they were to lower our taxes to like 3% and cut the military spending, you know, bring home some of the people, let's cut half the bases in the world. Just say half. All right, we'll start there. We'll start with half. And then take that money that's being saved. Let's spend it on infrastructure. Let's spend it on lowering college tuition for people who need it. Let's spend it on healthcare for those who need it, because I've been able to get along with my own healthcare system without going to Obamacare. I've been able to get along without it.
Well, not to mention we know you could abolish the IRS. You could abolish the bloated government system. You could lower to a flat tax. It would pretty much be solved, right? We know all that, but it's just, I understand why people think, oh, well, Bernie actually stands for some good things. They're just buying.
They think he's a populist.
They think he's a populist. Yeah. Exactly. Meanwhile, Trump's lead in New Hampshire grows while Sanders' edge shrinks. This is from CNN. Overall, 33% of likely Republican primary voters say they back Donald Trump, giving him a 17-point edge. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders holds 58% among likely Democratic primary voters, well ahead of Hillary Clinton's 35%. Says Donald Trump holds a growing lead in New Hampshire, according to the latest CNN tracking poll, while on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders' still wide lead is a bit smaller. So Donald Trump is still leading, even with all the attacks on him, even with the media. And last night I actually was driving in an Uber, and there was no mention of Donald Trump in the so-called Fox News debate coverage or whatever, they had this little thing on the radio that came on. It was like the debate news. And they mentioned every single candidate besides Trump, obviously, because they don't have the best of relationships. But even with all the attacks and everything, Trump is still surging in the polls. He's still winning by 7-point margin. It just goes to show that if you're actually a real human being and speak and are a populist, a real populist, want to get rid of the IRS, you're getting the points ahead. And speaking of that, we've actually got Richard Reeves in New Hampshire right now on the ground. He's going to join us in the next segment. And he's got a special report that we're going to play for you as well about what he says the GOP has rigged the debate crowd to spite Donald Trump. Let's go to that video before he joins us.
Richard Reeves with Infowars.com. We are at St. Anselm College here in New Hampshire, where we've just concluded watching the GOP debate, controlled and monitored by ABC. It was a very select audience, as you could tell by viewing the debate and listening to what Donald Trump had to say about that they couldn't even get tickets for their supporters there in the event. And that's exactly what we found out here talking to some of the people as they exited the event, is that they were hardcore GOP establishment folks. They were all basically repeating the rhetoric that the governors won tonight, Christie, Kasich, and Bush basically worked together to win the event. And so we will find out more as time goes on, but it was an event designed to bolster up the governors, and the audience was controlled and managed to that effect. Okay, so about how many people were in the audience? Because we weren't really able to see.
Oh my goodness, there must have been 300, 400. It was different, I guess, than the other ones. I didn't go to the other ones, but it was in a gym, so it was kind of flat, so it was a little bit harder to see for the people in the back. But it was, as you heard, I don't know if you did hear, but it was a fiery crowd, and it was a lot different than the first debates.
So do you know anything about how the folks that got tickets for the event, do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. Many went to the NHGOP, and many went to the campaigns. The different campaigns were able to distribute them. So they had a certain amount that went to the different campaigns, and they were able to distribute them.
So what do you think is going to happen? What do you think the results might look like?
Well, I can't say that either.
Okay. Can't say that. All right.
I'm the county chair, so okay. I have to be neutral.
Okay, county chair.
That.
Do you have any insight as to how the audience was selected to that attended? Were they mainly folks from New Hampshire, or can you tell?
Well, I know I saw some foreign diplomats there, so I weren't all from New Hampshire. There's a few people from out of state and dignitaries, but there was a lot of people I saw that I knew from inside the state. Also, quite a bit of the audience was volunteers that were, like myself, who were helping with the debate setup. And there was some extra spots at the end, probably from people who didn't make it in because of the snowstorm last night.
Oh, okay.
So, we support the Political Institute, so we got tickets, but I don't know how they gave the rest.
All right.
I think there were a lot of political activists here.
There were definitely some political activists there. It sounded a lot like some establishment GOP people.
For Rubio robots.
Trump as well. Anyway, we'll be right back with Richard Reeves, who is on the ground right now in New Hampshire. He is live. We'll be with him next segment. Beginning of the segment, this is Anthony Gucciardi, The Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate.
If you're hearing this transmission, you're one of the very select few of the very, very mass multitude of millions that have chosen to not watch the Super Bowl and the pregame show and to actually be a part of the battle for this country and the battle for this planet. You know, 120 plus million people tonight will watch the Super Bowl and will focus all of their energy on the stats of the players and the overall worship of the whole game. And I'm not attacking people that watch the Super Bowl. I get it. But imagine if we could just take 10% of that energy and put it towards something that matters, like actually taking back this country and actually knowing what we're talking about and actually doing something, right? And instead of focusing on the new stats and the latest players and who's going to win and all that kind of stuff and betting all our money on it, we're actually going to go to Richard Reeves, who's on the ground in New Hampshire right now, with the latest news on how he says the GOP is actually rigging it up against Trump, even though Trump is soaring right now and in a major lead. So, Richard, tell us what's going on.
Well, thanks, Anthony. Richard Reeves here with Infowars.com, and we are standing in front of the New Hampshire State House here in Concord, New Hampshire. They've got Daniel Webster statue out front. He was a famous congressman here from New Hampshire, which, by the way, I was reading a quick bio. For 40 years, he was a big advocate of states' rights, but after 40 years, then he converted to a big federal government guy. So he must have sold out there towards the end of his life. But anyway, folks, Super Bowl Sunday, but this is an emergency broadcast, Anthony. Absolutely emergency broadcast. Mark the date, buddy. Last night, the GOP, the New World Order controlled GOP, showed what they could do. What last night was the key story, the big story, the inside story, Toto pulling the curtain behind out from in front of the Wizard of Oz in the background. The key story is the audience, the turnout of the audience. The GOP, controlled by the NWO, controlled who the audience was that turned up to that event. What we had last night was a microcosm of what they plan to do in Cleveland, Ohio, in July at the RNC. And you heard that by the reaction to Donald Trump, the way they booed Donald Trump in that event, and Donald Trump actually called out the audience because they were hardcore GOPers. The reason the governors don't talk much about the delegate race is because they don't want to reveal the delegate strategy that the GOP has. They don't want to talk about it, and the reason they don't talk about the delegate race and they don't talk about precinct conventions and they don't talk about precinct caucuses is because for so many decades now, they've had those functions of how the RNC works. They've had that in the bag. They know that in 2000 they showed up, in 2004 they showed up, in 2008 they showed up, in 2012 they showed up. So what they're counting on is filling up the RNC in Cleveland, Ohio, with that type of crowd that was at that event last night.
And you could tell the way that they would cheer, gleefully cheer for Bush, Jeb Bush, who has almost no support. I mean, he had to beg for applause. And actually, think about this juxtaposition. He had to beg for applause when he was at, what was it, Rob, a school or something?
Yeah.
He was at
school. You can clap now.
You can clap now. Please clap for me. Please just give me some type of applause. He was begging for applause. Then, at the debates, he's like, yeah, well, we got to do. And they're like, yeah. And then Trump says anything and they start booing him. I mean, it's obvious that the tickets were only given to the establishment protocol-backed delegates or whatever, and supporters that are going to go in there and just worship Jeb Bush. I mean, is that not exactly
and
what
Anthony,
happened?
Anthony, it's key to know that what they did last night at this small venue in New Hampshire, they can replicate in Cleveland. I'm telling you, I've been involved in this process. They can get their minions to show up. They know they'll show up. As long as Trump's not asking for it, if he's telling his people, hey, just go out and vote, no, that is just the beginning. That is not enough. Just going out and vote is not going to get Trump the nomination to the Republican Party. Well,
and Richard, even if they could go out and vote and it was counted regularly, I mean, you look at there's a group called AccuVote. I have it up on the screen, guys. AccuVote is what controls most of the ballots here in, let's see, 184 towns and wards in New Hampshire. And who's owned by that? That's Diebold Voting. They own AccuVote. Right. So, I mean, you could steal it that way. You don't even have to get to the delegate or to the big convention. You could steal it before then.
How friendly.
Well, but see, that's not the whole story, though, because, yes, black box voting, we know about that. Alex has had shows over the years. That's just like these polls. In 2008, Alex proved that most of these polls are actually rigged. When he hired Zogby, you remember the famous pollster Zogby that you never hear about anymore since Alex exposed that they did phony polls back in 2008?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're still doing that. Now, here's the thing. Those who really decide the Republican nominee is going to be in Cleveland, it's going to be those delegates, okay? These primaries or beauty contests, yes, they can be stolen. It's important that Trump still wins. If he wins by big enough landslides, the black box voting will probably be overridden, and I'm convinced we actually have good people that work in elections that will help monitor that. Now, they're not going to cheat for us on the one side or the other. They're going to call it straight down the line like a real baseball umpire or an honest referee should. So black box voting will be in play potentially. We're going to find out on Tuesday if that's what happens. But those people that do go vote, if they don't participate at the next step, which is going to the precinct conventions or their precinct caucuses, whatever their state has, if they don't follow up and make their way through the convention system up to Cleveland, Ohio, what we're going to end up with is that type of crowd that you saw and heard last night in that debate. That's what's going to happen. They're going to show up in Cleveland, because here's the thing. You've heard about the superdelegates on the Democrat side. Well, there's superdelegates on the Republican side. Donald Trump, in reality, needs to pile up not 50.1% of the delegates and waltz into Cleveland with 50.1. He actually needs to get closer to about 60% of the total delegates into Cleveland to have a real chance of getting this nomination. Because as we learned a while back in Charleston when we were there, when they were having that impeachment hearing, the possible passing the proposition of the impeachment against Obama, the RNC couldn't even muster up the will to even vote on it. They only had like three supporters of Obama impeachment. So they're that in the bag for the establishment that they won't even pass a resolution, a toothless resolution, to impeach Obama.
Right. Well, and it's obvious, right? Because look, it's as Jeb Bush said, oh, I'm in it for the long haul. There's all this minutia that no one even talks about. The average person doesn't even understand that's going on. The average person thinks, well, Trump has the support nationally. He's going to win. There's so much more going on to that. And they have that in their bag, as you're saying, because they know how it works. Now, I wanted to make a comment and ask you a question on Rubio, because we only have a few minutes here to wrap up. Yes. But first, I would also say, deeper, the media deception of someone booing at Trump or cheering Jeb on the debates tells the average person at home, man, that's how people really feel. Because they're not thinking about, well, gee, how are the people selected? Is it caucus-based? Is it delegate-based? They don't know any of that. They're thinking, man, people really turned on Trump. They really do like Jeb Bush. Now,
they're using they're using the audience reaction to try to shift the viewership in their homes.
It's like laugh tracks on a sitcom. Now, question for you. What's your take on Rubio? Last night, he was extremely fake and people called him out for it. Chris Christie did a great job calling him out, and it was obvious he was using canned lines. What is going on with Rubio? He's surging, apparently, in the polls. What's the deal here?
I think I can tell you exactly. Marco Rubio, you know, the hype was surging. Chris Christie busted him on his, you know, he's the next Mattel Ken doll, where, and they'll have a Chris Christie doll where, you know, they pull the string of the Marco Rubio doll, and it's Chris Christie pulling the string, and it's Marco Rubio robotically saying, Obama knows exactly what he's doing, right? Well, you know, they're going to have those dolls probably come out. But anyway, I think the New World Order's plan is, it's becoming more clear to me, is that they actually want a horse race of three, four, or five candidates. They want three, four, or five candidates to divvy up the delegate pie. Because as we were talking about just a minute ago, Donald Trump's really got to get 60 delegates to go into Cleveland to not be too much at risk of being overthrown in the convention process. So if they have a horse race of three, four, or five candidates, Marco Rubio being one of those candidates, we got the governors, then they can help split the delegate pie up to where they can go into the convention, and then they can bring that audience.
We got to go to break, but what you're saying is they're going to muddy the waters and have multiple options on the Republican side so they can shower them out and kind of destroy the whole thing. We'll be right back with more information. This is the Alex Jones Show, Sunday edition.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hello, me. Meet the real me.
It is the Alex Jones Show, taking you within some Megadeth. It is Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, but we've got more important things to talk about. We are actually going to talk about the truth about the Super Bowl coming up. And at the end of the program today, the last segment, Alex Jones himself is calling in to give his take on the debate last night and what he sees going on with the election. We just got done with some on-the-ground coverage in New Hampshire with Richard Reeves, InfoWars reporter. And we've got some more stories to go on and wrapping up with the debate just a bit. Before I get Rob's take on something we were talking about on the break, Democratic donor contacts Biden allies about possible run. And it says from Reuters, a prominent Democratic donor worried about the party's chances of winning the presidency emailed dozens of fans of Vice President Joe Biden on Friday, urging them to remain prepared to donate if Biden jumps into the race.
Buy a shotgun.
You know, It does seem like no one is going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And Bernie Sanders doesn't have a chance. Well, who knows, but doesn't seem to have a chance. It looks like they could bring in Biden at the last second, or they'll do a Bill Clinton as VP type thing where Bill will come in and all the stories will be like, well, if you're voting for Hillary, you're really voting for Bill, and he's a cool guy. He plays saxophone.
He helped the economy back in the 90s. Yeah.
Bill Clinton knows what to do. Yeah. Bring him in. So it'll be really sad. Like, a vote for Hillary is a vote for Clinton, a Bill Clinton. So you never know. But anyway, you were talking about some information you wanted to share.
Yeah, just looking at these voting machines, which we've talked about ad nauseum. You know, people were talking about how Marco Rubio, is his second biggest donor was Microsoft. Well, here it is. The TSX machine, which is the same hardware found in the general purpose PC, contains a 32-bit Intel X-scale processor and 32 bits of megabyte Intel internal flash memory and 64 megabytes of RAM. It runs a version of 4.1. Microsoft's Windows CE operating system with modifications written by Diebold. And then
Voting machine, for clarification.
That's the voting machines you were talking about that are counting the votes in, let's get this right, 184 towns and wards in New Hampshire in this primary. So it's
running on a Microsoft operating system.
Right. And so people had questions about Iowa. You saw Rubio surging with no support whatsoever in the single digits, and now he's in double digits. And here we have, down on this page by verified voting, checking the voter verifiable paper trail. And it says, if the TSX is equipped with a voter verifiable paper trail, the printer tape is located to the right of the touchscreen under transparent plastic. But they don't do that. You know, they give you some excuse like, oh, if we gave you a little piece of paper, that would hurt global warming or something. You know, they just trot this nonsense out as to why they can't have a paper trail. Even though you go to the gas station, you get a BPA-covered receipt. You go to the ATM, you get a BPA-covered receipt. And I'm talking about bisphenol A. It's on the printer ink. That's so you get your estrogen levels correct.
Right.
but we can't do it with the voting machine because every 4 years, if we did that, you know, global warming might happen.
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of this. This is my take on the voter rigging with the voting systems being fraudulent. You think of the TSA or even you think about the DMV. OK, you think about anything run by the government, right? In conjunction sometimes with corporations, but the TSA and the naked body scanners that never work, has never caught a terrorist. Never. Not one time has it caught a terrorist. People get through with metal plates that could be weapons, could be guns, could be explosives all the time. You think about the DMV, how slow and terrible it is and how silly and stupid it is, all run by the government.
Yeah.
Why would we take that same government that runs the TSA and completely screws it up, or the DMV where you have to wait in line for 3 hours and no one can do anything, and say, well, why don't you also have control of our voting machines and you'll be the oversight group on the corporations
and our
running
healthcare.
All of this? Diebold. Well, why don't you take our healthcare, take the voting machines? It seems to me that we would want to restrict the government's grubby little weird fat fingers from everything possible that they're going to screw up one way or another. So why would we blindly sit down, and you're called a conspiracy theorist if you question this, by the way, why would you blindly sit down and say, well, gee, you know what? They should just have our ability to decide our leaders, too. Just make sure that they have full control over the voting systems.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally ridiculous, but, you know, the Super Bowl starts in 30 minutes, so we better wrap this up, right, Anthony?
Oh, absolutely. And don't worry, we're going to get to the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the truth about the Super Bowl, and I've got a lot to say about that.
Well, okay, so remember a couple years ago, they had this vaunted security in New York with the Super Bowl. Like, they had tight-knit, they had metal detectors, they were checking people's bags, everything. People weren't even allowed to bring in bags unless it was clear. And then you have one guy, Matthew Mills, who walks in to a press conference, just walks in, gets through how many layers of security? Nobody stops him. All this vaunted millions of dollars of security. One man gets through. And he was a journalist. And all he wanted to do was, you know, express his ideas. And if you guys have the video, let's cue it up. This is what he said. This is 2 years ago.
No, I always imagined myself making great plays, but you never think about being MVP.
Investigate 9/11. 9/11 was perpetrated by people within our own government.
Oh, my God, a man with an idea.
That's a real example of drops the mic.
Exactly. And, you know, investigate 9/11. 9/11 was perpetrated by our government, you know. Got through all that security to say that. All that security couldn't handle that. And now, what do we have? Now we have the DHS using F-15 warplanes. We have a report. If you're ready to go, let's run that report.
Well, hold on a second here. We do need to run the report if we have enough time. But it is important also that we remember that this whole show, this whole segment, this whole operation is funded by InfoWarsLife.com.
There you go.
There's a new product, Anthroplex, which, look, let me just tell you, you need to try this. It works amazingly with all the other products, including Superman Vitality. It has some ingredients that you need to read about on InfoWarsLife.com to get the full example of what
the
it does.
The horny goat weed.
It has horny goat weed, also known as Epimedium. It has the zinc orotate, and you can read about why you need that specifically. This is the twice daily, actually. We upped it. It wasn't going to be once. Now it's twice daily foundation for men. And this just gets you back to your baseline. And look, you will feel the difference when you take this. You can read about it on InfoWarsLife.com. Anthroplex, the new product. You need to check it out, especially if you've taken Super Male Vitality.
Yeah.
Give this a shot as well.
Well, all if right. I was to pick the five products that you had to have, I would say X2 and Silver. Those are my first two that I got to have. And then Super Male Vitality, number three, even though that's our biggest seller, it's third on my list. And Secret 12, which is amazing. And then Brain Force. But now I got to add Anthroplex and Knockout as well, because those, what? I mean, that's like seven that I think if you had those, you could use those to maneuver your life into an optimum, you know, an optimum fighting info warrior death machine.
Well, I'm definitely the ultimate test subject because I'm taking it all in the experimental phases. You know, I'm on a bunch right now that are experimental phases.
Yeah.
But I've been taking Anthroplex for a long time. I have a protein shake every single morning where I put everything into it, right? But in the beginning, when I was testing specific things, so I didn't want to just dump it all and then say, like, I feel good because of a million things.
Right.
I was testing different ones. So I would actually phase it out. I would take nothing for 2 weeks, and then I would try the product for about a week and see the actual effects. And then I would, you know, go off for 2 weeks and try another product. And my top are Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. I mean, that's just the flagship. That's the base. That's just the number one, period. The first product ever by InfoWars Life. And then you have Super Male Vitality. The Brain Force is amazing. But DNA Force is also kind of a hidden gem. I don't want to get off into all these. Try Anthroplex mainly, although at InfoWarsLife.com, there's so many good products. I actually am excited about it. You can tell we're excited about it. You can tell we're actually hopped up because we want to help you.
Brain Force works. I've used it. I don't know how many times I felt foggy, down, whatever. I pulled an all-nighter and we did the Farrakhan interview. Brain Force got me through.
I remember that.
I took it at 10 p.m. that night. I was going hard to about 4 a.m. Just like I'm editing and looking at all the clips and finding stuff and coming up with new ideas. And just it turns on your brain
then
immediately.
You told me the next day, you're like, man, that Brain Force really works.
It does. And I don't take it every day.
Yeah.
But the days I do take it, when I feel like I can't, just not feeling, boom, I'll take a Brain Force.
I don't like coffee. I hate the taste. I drink it about twice a year. Why would I even drink coffee when I can just use Brain Force? Seriously, there's no reason. It's a pill. It's better for you. It actually increases and enhances your brain health. Coffee is like, man, if I don't drink my coffee tomorrow, I'm going to die. I hear people say that. It's like, why would you subject yourself?
Because it's got electrolytes. It's got what plants need.
It's got what plants crave. All right. Well, anyway, look, we are going
to
get in.
Time to get to that
no, we don't
now?
Have time to get to the report right now. We are going to get to it next. Yeah. And it is a report on the DHS to protect Super Bowl with F-15
They've got
warplanes.
F-15 airplanes now.
Fighter jets in the air.
Well, could they stop 9/11 truthers?
Look, the Super Bowl is all that matters,
Nothing
Rob.
Nothing can stop 9/11
truthers. It's all that matters, okay? No, we're going to get into that. We've got some more news. We've got whether or not Jeb Bush is over with. We've got so much stuff. Barbara Bush says, I'm sick of Donald Trump. And again, the truth about the Super Bowl. So we'll be back. This is the Alex Jones Show, the Sunday edition. Remember, Alex is calling, coming up on the program. Alex is calling, giving his take on everything, including the debates last night. Stay tuned. You do not want to miss what is going on.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Anthony Gucciardi here with Rob Dew. It's the Alex Jones Show Sunday edition. And Alex, again, is coming up at the last segment of the show to give you his take on what's happening with the debates, what's happening with the election, where it's all going. We had Richard Reeves on the ground in New Hampshire giving us an update of what's happening. And now we're segueing a little bit into more news and also the almighty Super Bowl, which begins in 30 minutes, Rob.
It does. And, you know, we do have a Leanne McAdoo report. She went out on the street and talked to people in Austin of what they thought. It was after the last Democratic debate. You know, they snuck it up on us. They said, all of a sudden, now we're going to have all these debates because people actually want to see debates. Because look at all the people watching the Republican debate, even though the last Democratic debate, I think 4.6 million watched. So not a lot of people care. I think the Democrats already had their mind made up who they're going to vote for. But Leanne McAdoo was out on the street. What's the title?
Yeah, actually, that's a great idea. I had that one starred. Yeah. Is Hillary Clinton feeling the burn? Leanne went out. It's very timely, actually, so we should play it.
Yeah.
Leanne went out and did a man on the street, which are my favorite type of videos, and asked people about what's going on, if they're actually into Hillary. And it yielded some very interesting results. If we have that video queued up, let's go ahead and play it.
Find Darth Vader.
Hey, who do you guys think won the debate last night?
We didn't see it, I'm sorry.
No?
Yeah.
Feeling the burn? Or?
Absolutely, I'm all for Bernie Sanders.
Yes?
All day.
Republican or Democrat?
It was Democrat.
Yeah, I know. Not Hillary, that's for sure.
I like Bernie a lot.
You're feeling the burn.
I don't know about the burn, but I mean, he's saying a lot of things. I just don't know that he can get anything done in our political system, you know?
Unfortunately, based on this year's candidates, I'm feeling the desire to move to Canada.
Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, who are you wanting to see in the White House?
A Republican.
Well, how strange do you think it is that he's almost tied with Clinton? She was like a shoo-in for president.
I don't think it's strange at all when you look at some of the behind-the-scenes campaign work that he's done and just the number of individual contributions that he was able to collect. I think more people are on board with Bernie than the national media wanted us to think. So,
I just don't think they really understand what socialism means. So I think they're going to be very surprised if he wins.
Well, I think that democratic socialism is just that's the political system that's going to survive in our world today. I mean, all the countries in Europe that are successful, Scandinavian countries, German countries, that's what they do. You know, you get somebody that takes care of you your entire life, and you pay heavily for it.
I used to go to school in Vermont, and I'm definitely feeling the burn pretty hard. So,
what do you see for the empire?
I see success.
So, are you feeling the burn, or?
No. Oh, no. I'm on the other side.
So why do you think Clinton hasn't been arrested yet?
She's protected by the political powers. So she's got a big veil of strength in front of her that they can't get through.
Do you think it's a failure of our political system that she's like the front runner for the presidency?
Oh, yes. Oh, do I agree. That's why I'm voting for Trump. I was a Democrat all the way, but Republican all the way.
I'm a Democrat, and I feel like both candidates are just not suited for what we have, and Donald Trump is at a completely different card, so it's a really tough decision.
You don't think he would run the country like a business?
God, I think he'd run it like a circus.
So you were Democrat, and now you're voting Trump?
Right.
Wow, what happened?
Well, because I'm tired of all the bull, you know what I mean? And I don't think he's out there for the money. I think he's out to straighten this country out.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need somebody who's going to bring back our jobs, stop outsourcing everything, and build the borders, like he said.
Hillary may be a bitch, but you know what? She's our bitch.
Join me.
So you don't see her getting arrested or indicted for anything?
Oh, come on. Bill Clinton had a blowjob in the Oval Office, and he got indicted, but he didn't get impeached. I mean, come on, over some emails?
Crush them.
Well, there you go. Those were some interesting responses, were they not?
It was. It's always interesting to see what people have to say, especially after these debates. And, you know, a lot of people are still awake, still asleep, but we have some out there that are awake. You know, it's interesting to see when you find those people out on the street. We find them all the time, people that are awake. And, you know, what are you doing out there? Are you waking people up? Are you sitting on your couch just pretending everything's okay, curling up in a ball? Or are you going to wake up?
Don't curl up in a ball. We'll be right back. This is the Alex Jones Show. More news, special reports, and a story to share with you.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah. Infowars.com.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It is the Alex Jones Show. It's Super Bowl Sunday. In under 24 minutes, the Super Bowl starts. Yeah! But you're not going to be watching the Super Bowl because you're going to be with us, where the real fight is, and actually doing something with your life. And I'm not attacking people to watch the Super Bowl again, but remember, this is more meaningful. This is a red alert scenario. This is an emergency transmission. Plus, Alex is coming up in a few segments to talk about his take on all this and what he finds to be the number one story right now. And we're going to get into some news. We've got a report how the DHS is using an F-15 jet fighter warplane over to protect the Super Bowl today with just a few jet fighters, because it is, after all, the most important thing in the world. But first, I want to share a story with you guys. And I also want to get Rob Dew's take on this, who's riding shotgun with me for this entire program. And this is representative of how easy it is to overcome a bully. When I say a bully, what do I mean? I mean a bully such as the overreaching bloated government in some ways, such as just bullies of all kind, they're often pretty weak. So I was driving today. I was going to a restaurant. For those of you who don't know how Austin works, there's this thing where aspiring restaurateurs open restaurants in bad parts of town because it's cheap and they can have a good restaurant there. So I'm going to check out my buddy's restaurant. So I park in somewhat of a bad part of town, but I'm going to go to the restaurant, whatever. I'm from somewhat of a bad area. I know how to conduct myself. So I go into this convenience store, and someone follows me into the convenience store right after I get out of my car. I look around. It's this guy. He's like super jacked, and he's got like face tattoos, like in weird languages all over himself. And he's just staring me down, walking like 2 feet behind me. So I go to get a water, buying like a smart water out of the convenience store. I go up to checkout, and he's still following me after getting the water with nothing in his hands to the checkout. Again, super close behind me. I check out. Even the checkout guy is looking at him and looking at me like, what's going on here? I walk out the door, and he follows me out the door, and that's when I realize, okay, I have to do something right away. So I'm walking over to the restaurant, and he's still walking with me, getting closer and closer and closer, and that's when I turn around, and I'm not like some hulking person. I turn around and said, hey, what's up, man? And he just changes his expression from like a cold-faced, like face-tatted, jacked-up dude looking at me all angry to, nothing. And he walks away and goes to his car and drives away. Okay? So look, here's what this means. It is so easy sometimes to actually stand up to people. I mean, that guy could probably destroy me, okay? But I'm looking at him in the eyes and saying, hey, what's up, man? And it's that. It's actually just caring and looking at him with intent and saying, hey, you don't mess with me. Even though he could destroy me physically, looking at him and confronting him made him back off and really run away and get into his car. So what does that mean in the larger view? It means once you actually stand up for yourself and do something about it, with all of this crap going on, if you actually stand up, the bully will run away. The bully is weak. The bully is insecure. The bully has no power over you. None of these things have power over you. You can actually stop it by confronting it and saying, I'm not going to deal with that. What's wrong with you? When you stand up, you'll be surprised.
It's like pulling out a camera.
Your enemies fall.
It's like pulling out a camera. If the cops are stopped you or a CPS person wants to come into your house, you pull out a camera and you start filming them. They're going to change because then they don't have anything. They're not hiding behind that badge. They're not hiding behind their authority. They have to say what they are. They have to uncloak themselves. And that is the quickest way to get somebody to turn. Just pop out your camera and say, we're going to tape all our encounters together. I just want you to know that, especially if you come in my house.
You know, this is something that most people definitely can't say. When I went into the NSA headquarters and I was arrested years ago, which I'm very sorry, NSA, for doing that, because I was told if I came back, I would be thrown into a military prison. So I'm very, very sorry for that. I was told that I was going to potentially be eaten by a dog, a German Shepherd, who was a militarized German Shepherd. But once we realized and told them that we were live streaming, right, which is a very brutish way to do it. But once we told them we were live streaming, they totally changed and everything was okay. And
by the way, this is going out to millions of people.
Exactly.
Just so you know.
They tried
just
to steal our cameras and take everything out of it. And my whole thing with the NSA, and I'm not all about like getting in cops' faces and filming them. No, I'm not about that. But the NSA is literally collecting every single thing that we do. No. So my angle was, why not go to the NSA and ask them for the information? So that's what we did. We say, hey, give me your ID, bro. Give me your information. Give me your browser history. Take your laptop out and let me see it. Let me look at it. Because they're doing that to us, right? So there's definitely tactile ways. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. I want to hear your take on all this because I've kind of pontificated my views that it's really, if we could take 10% of the energy of everyone watching the Super Bowl, over 120 to 180 million people, and just put it in something that matters, imagine what we could do, right?
We could do a lot.
We could change the world in 5 seconds. But meanwhile,
we could get leaders that really believe in what they're doing.
Exactly. Do we have enough time now to go to this clip about the DHS? Part. We do not have enough time. We'll have to hold it up for the next segment. Well, I want to hear your take on the Super Bowl. Tell the people, a lot of people are about to go actually watch it in the next 15 minutes. Tell the people what you really think about the Super Bowl.
You know, I've never understood football, why people are so obsessed with it to begin with, because you have like five or six different officials out on the floor. Everything is a penalty. There's too much stop and go. It's just, to me, it doesn't have enough oomph in it. And if I ever watch a game, I just watch the highlights, because that's the only, it's like, let's get these 10 bits, these 10 second bits of entertainment and watch those. I'm not going to sit down for 3.5 hours and waste my life. But that's what they like to do. They like you to sit down and waste 3.5 hours of your life two or three times on a weekend just watching these games so they can push their corporate feces on you. I mean, that's what I really feel
right
about professional sports in general. But I'm a pro sports fan. I think I play basketball. Yeah. I like to snowboard.
I don't think there's anything wrong with watching sports. There's
nothing. Every once in a while.
It's when you get sucked in
exactly.
too much. It's like anything else, really. It's addiction of anything else. But once you get sucked in, and I noticed, though, it is created in such a way to draw men in and use their primal instincts on things that could be creating and touching people in their lives and just enhancing the world. Yeah. Instead, it's like instead of memorizing important facts and information or watching what's going on in the world, they memorize the stats of the players. They worship the players, who a lot of the times are not very good role models, right? They all look up to them. I actually, you know, used to have a friend that was a perspective from the NFL or whatever, and people would just worship him. I mean, just worshipful. This guy was nothing special, that's for sure. It takes the primal essence of men and focuses it in a wrong way. And again, though, I understand it. Who cares if you watch sports? It's when you get addicted to it and start worshiping, and people, you can walk into Boston with the so-called enemy jersey, you know, it's just another team made up of people that aren't even from the city you live in.
They could beat you up.
It's like the Philadelphia Eagles aren't all people from Philadelphia, guys. It's people from wherever. Just like the U.S. Olympics is like 90% people from other countries.
Right.
It's absurd. But you could walk in Boston and wear, I don't remember what, you know, the jersey is that they don't like over there, and they will punch you. It's been shown on YouTube. They will threaten you and get punched in the face. So if you wear like a Cowboys jersey in Philadelphia, for example, you walk around, you're like, yeah, Cowboys. They will say, you want to fight me? You want to fight? It's like male tribalism perfected into a corporate Borg weird system where it's like NFL sports sponsored by Pepsi. It's like totally absurd. It has gone to idiocracy level where people join their teams like tribes and battle each other if they don't have the same color shirt. If you don't have the same jersey color as I do, you are my enemy now.
Exactly. And people have been beat up. I think there was he was either a 49ers fan or 49ers fans beat up a guy at a football contest and put the guy in a coma because he was wearing a different colored jersey.
And hey, it's not to interrupt. I want to hear your story. Sorry. But listen, it's also soccer, as they call it, football, mm-hmm. right? The same thing happens with soccer fans in other countries. They'll just kill each other too. So it's not even just an American issue.
They've harnessed that tribal instinct with people and said, now we're going to put you guys against each other. Mm-hmm. Well, we're taking everything from you.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Exactly.
Cities versus cities when people aren't even from that city. Anyway, Rob has a really interesting story he just pulled up. Is the Super Bowl rigged? Here are some of the biggest conspiracy theories. Sounds really interesting. You're actually telling me about that.
Yeah.
So we're going to cover that and a lot more. And Alex Jones is coming up with his take on last night's debates and his number one story that he thinks is the most essential. We'll be right back. This is The Alex Jones Show.
Stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Anthony Gucciardi with Rob Dew and countdown to the Super Bowl. We're here covering things that are way more important and way more impactful in the grand scheme of things. And Alex, coming up, is going to be joining the show to give us his breakdown of the debate last night, the election, and what he says is his number one story that no one else seems to be talking about today. Also, we've got some news right now. We're going to talk about, is the Super Bowl rigged? Here are some of the biggest conspiracy theories. This is very interesting. And then we're going to cut right to a special report.
Yeah, here's the biggest one down here. The NFL is rigged for one, which I think a lot of people know. Peyton Manning wins a decisive Super Bowl 50 and retires as best QB of all time. That's what they want. So people think that they're spending on, and you know what? There's probably some people out there making some money off of Peyton Manning winning, because I think the Panthers are in the odds of winning. But here's what they really want. They want to jack your ass. Okay, they want to jack your DNA. Okay, because they're working on GMO babies. They're growing them in pigs and in cows. This is what they really want to do. This is an article by Julie Fidler on Infowars.com. The world takes the fourth major step towards creating a GMO baby in a year. Fourth major step. Are you ready for designer babies? Because then they're going to give you a baby without humanity that wants to fight, that wants to die, and is ready to kill. And doesn't mind stuff like this. Oh, 65,000% radioactivity spike in New Jersey. New York governor owners probe into water leak. Next nuclear crisis. So they're not, but they're not worried about that. People aren't worried about that. They're worried about whether the game is rigged.
Well, speaking of the game, this year they launched F-15 fighter jets as a part of the security layout for the game. And here's John Bounds' report on that. Actually, this is from Jacobson.
Rob Jacobson's
Darren report
McBreen,
on that.
Darren McBreen voicing it.
Very crazy stuff. Let's take a look at this.
The Super Bowl. Many Americans will argue that this single event brings more people together than any other American pastime. And just like football fans who are preparing their Super Bowl parties, the military-industrial complex is making preparations of their own. This year's spectacle won't be the star-studded halftime show, but rather the outrageously overblown security theater that's being staged in and around the event. According to CBS San Francisco Bay Area News, Super Bowl 50 security is to include F-15 fighter jets and helicopters. Again, that's F-15 jets and helicopters at the Super Bowl. If this seems a little over the top, there's good reason for it. There's much more theatrics here than actual security. In fact, many, if not all, of the security techniques being used at the event have been proven to be ineffectual by up to 95%. And yet they've still elevated their routine to include F-15s. To illustrate the incompetence of the Department of Homeland Security, just look at the testimony given by the Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Office of Screening in the DHS, Kellyanne Barishi.
Ms. Barishi, I've asked you the number of Americans who traveled to Syria, you don't know. The number of Americans who may have traveled and returned, you don't know. The number of Syrian refugees who've entered the country in the last year, you don't know. The number of visa waiver program overstays, you don't know. The number of visa waiver overstays who may have been to Syria before they came here, you don't know. And the number of American citizens on the no-fly list, and you don't know. And yet you are the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Screening Coordination, Office of Policy, Department of Homeland Security, in front of the Oversight Committee, and you can't give us one single number to some, I think, pretty basic questions?
Quoting Daily Caller editor-in-chief Tucker Carlson from a Fox News appearance, he said,
"These people are not just wrong on the ideas. They're totally incompetent. These are the people who built the Obamacare website. They're not good at the details is part of it. And that's why this whole thing ought to scare us a lot."
And we shouldn't ignore the fact that Homeland Security has absolutely no problem keeping the borders wide open for anyone to cross. Now, these same people are bringing to the Super Bowl what the San Jose Mercury News describes as a veritable Fort Knox for the February 7th game. Metal detectors at every entrance, bomb-sniffing dogs at all train stops, sharpshooters perched on rooftops, and cameras everywhere. The DHS says they will be teaming up with the Air Force to provide air security against, amongst other possible threats, a slow-moving Cessna. Stories have been circulating demonstrating the special training that these pilots are receiving to aid them when intercepting Cessnas or small aircraft. And that's a lot of media coverage for what is normally considered to be routine NORAD defense drills. For decades, the United States airspace has been under the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD's Air Defense Program, who have the task to defend our domestic skies with aircraft, which includes F-15 fighters. Then why make a story out of F-15 training exercises? Well, the reason is as simple as it gets. To put a spotlight on the mighty U.S. military and the domestic Air Force. For all those watching the biggest game of the year to see. Infowars.com has time and time again exposed the fact that the DHS has very little interest in actually keeping anyone secure and a much larger agenda in acclimating the American population to live in a security state. What we'll be witnessing during the game will be nothing short of security theater broadcast during America's most popular sporting event. The DHS, as well as the U.S. military, has a history of paying big money to the NFL to propagandize the U.S. public. Countless articles report the relationship between the DOD and the NFL, including this November 2015 Pittsburgh Post-Gazette report. The DOD paid $53 million of taxpayers' money to pro sports for military tributes. So why does the DOD want to acclimate the public anyway? On Sunday, May 6, 2012, Infowars.com reported that a leaked U.S. Army document prepared for the Department of Defense contains shocking plans for political activists to be pacified by PSYOP officers into developing an appreciation of U.S. policies while detained in prison camps inside the United States. Last July, former General Wesley Clark went on MSNBC and called for disloyal Americans to be put in internment camps. Add this to the fact that Obama, who has chaired Security Council meetings, recently teamed up with the UN to create a global police force to deal with violent extremism. We as Americans are being pushed and shoved into a global system that is outside of the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. And the security state theater is one way the American public is primed for the occasion. As people become more used to seeing the military in their everyday life, the easier it will be for the U.S. to become acclimated into a global system. A system where dissenters get into a military van and are never heard of again. So for those of you who are ready to put your brain into relaxation mode and sink into the big game, your relaxed mind will be unconsciously experiencing a paranoid America who lives under the reckless and unaccountable police state. The DOD.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run on for a long time.
Welcome back. It's the Alex Jones Show. This is Anthony Gucciardi with Rob Dew riding shotgun. And next segment, Alex Jones is calling in to break down what he says is the number one story right now that no one is covering properly. And I'm really excited to talk to him. And, you know, we were talking during the break. There's just so much news here to kind of digest and give to you guys. Earlier in the show, we played highlights from the election with Marco Rubio speaking like a robot. He said the same thing about four times in a row. And I remember watching it last night thinking, well, you know, it's almost like he's saying the same thing over and over again. Sure enough, my memory was correct. He was saying the same thing over and over again. And Chris Christie called him out, which I think was one of the most amazing things Chris Christie ever did. And then there's Jeb Bush. And I walked in to get a drink of water. And I saw on the television that Fox News had Jeb Bush on. And they did it last night, too. They had Jeb Bush on. And this new angle that they're going with is Jeb Bush is sitting there attacking Donald Trump, saying, well, you know, he did this eminent domain. It's so sad he did this to a 70-year-old woman to put a limo parking lot in. And they talked about how Donald Trump shushed him and told him to be quiet. And they had Jeb Bush on again last night. And I also mentioned how I was taking an Uber the other night and they were doing a little recap. And they talked about every single person besides Donald Trump on Fox News Radio, on the radio, and just totally excluded Donald Trump. You can't help but wonder if that's because obviously they had a falling out. So I guess they're now going to just give Jeb all of the worship spotlight.
Well, you know, it seems like the pushing of Rubio the robot's not going to work. There's really nobody else that they can't. I keep calling him Tim Cruz. That was a baseball player, but Ted Cruz.
We didn't even talk about Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, to me, I just don't understand why he won't speak like a human being.
Exactly.
All these people are so fake. I mean, they're really so fake. That's why Trump has such high ratings, because he actually, you know,
speaks from the hip.
Real.
He speaks from the hip. He pulls out the gun.
It's not scripted. It's not a teleprompter. But then Ted Cruz, it's like he's been practicing in the mirror how to say it in some type of what he thinks is like a statesman way. Like, well, let me tell you, my friends, I would never, Dr. Ben Carson, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. It's like, no one talks like that. Come on, man.
Now that I have stabbed the knife in your back, I will turn it ever so slowly before I pull it out.
And maybe that does work with some weird demographics. I mean, it has to, right? I mean, it has to work with some. But to me, it just seems so ingenuine.
Yeah.
It just seems so ingenuine. And I'm talking about the full spectrum, right? I mean, obviously, Hillary is the worst offender. And she's so ingenuine. It's so fake. And you could look at her facial reflections of what she's saying. She just looks so fake.
I mean, Ron Paul is a statesman, but he will talk from the hip too.
Right.
You know, you could get him to actually say stuff. And I think that's why now they're talking about all the other candidates, because Rand Paul's out, so they don't have to mention him. They don't have to mention libertarianism or you know, real free market ideas. You could just stick with all these canned opponents who really are, you know, basically men of no substance.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't know how Chris Christie got to be governor. I don't know how Marco Rubio got to be senator. You know, it's disgusting what we have to look at.
Well, Marco Rubio is a good speaker. It's just all canned. And, you know, it brings me back to 2008. Say what you will, you know, Obama's, you know, we all know the truth. But the way he spoke was not so fake, right? He actually is a great speaker when he has a teleprompter. So it kind of lures you in. But to me, it's almost like if they could just realize that they don't have to be robotic, fake people, their numbers would surge, but they just can't do it. They just can't do it.
Because they're not real people. If they don't have the teleprompter in front of them, they don't have the talking points in front of them.
Resort to dirty tricks, and that's why there's articles like this. Pressure grows for an audit of Iowa caucus results. The Iowa Democratic Party is rejecting calls for it to perform an audit of caucus results from last week, despite the discrepancies that have been reported since it declared Hillary Clinton narrowly defeated Senator Bernie Sanders and won six coin tosses in a row. And actually, I have a proposition for you, Rob. I think I would back this. I don't know about you. We should have a Kickstarter or something to send Hillary Clinton to Vegas, because she would clean up. Can you imagine her at the craps table?
She could balance the stupid effing budget with her skills of odds.
Her luck.
Yes.
Her odds, I mean, it's off the chart, right? Less than a 1% chance. She could go, theoretically, and play blackjack, and she could get rid of the debt. She could get rid of the national debt if we brought Hillary Clinton to Vegas, just based on those odds. She would just crush it. And I look. Confirmed Iowa Democratic Party flipped delegates to Clinton. The Iowa Democratic Party's chaotic attempt to report caucus results on Monday night. The results in at least one precinct were unilaterally changed by the party as it attempted to deal with the culmination of a rushed, imperfect process overseeing the first in the nation nominating.
I like how it's 2016 and it's still chaotic. We just don't know.
Can't figure it out. These Microsoft apps aren't working for some reason.
You know, just people flailing around, not knowing what their real job is. And, you know, and then, we flip-flop. We didn't realize we flip-flop.
And as always, you know, we're talking about the scripted stuff not working. Rubio misses moment as Donald Trump rises. GOP braces for long haul, even though Trump was getting blasted with boos by the establishment people in the crowd. The establishment finally struck back, but not in the way anyone might have imagined. This is on Infowars.com from ABC News. The first Republican debate since voting began revealed a still unsettled field with as many variables as qualities among the candidates. Marco Rubio's post-Iowa momentum likely stalled in a flurry of repetition, while the three governors in the field made strong final pitches for New Hampshire. The end of the debate, the GOP's new center of gravity looked like much like the old one. Donald Trump, center stage, poised to start winning. So it's like no matter what they throw with all their fakeness, it just is not working. And it just comes back to the same thing over and over and over. Another one, Rubio chokes from Politico, said the same thing a million times. Trump's lead grows in New Hampshire days before a primary. Donald Trump dismisses audience after getting booed at the debate. Devastating video montage of robot Marco Rubio repeating same line five times. This one says five. I read four.
I heard eight too. It's just, he repeats it so much people can't even keep count. And yet you're probably going to see him be a high second place finisher, even though nobody wants this guy in. It's just disgusting. Meanwhile, in New York,
hey, here's a good tweet.
The radioactive activity level is 65,000 times higher than what it should be.
And that's fine.
In the drinking water of the...
Isn't it leaking into the groundwater?
Yeah, it's leaking into the groundwater at the Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant. Three monitoring wells were discovered to have alarming levels of radioactivity, the governor of New York said, opening an immediate environmental probe into the issue. So that's on Infowars.com, too. That's from RT.
Well, that's a lot harder to get out of the water than lead.
It sure is. And there's a lot of things harder. You know, fluoride's really hard to get out of your water.
Well, trust me, I know. I filter it myself.
Purposely put that in there. This is not purposely, mm-hmm. but it's going to give you cancer. Fluoride, they purposely put in, and it's admitted that it gives you cancer. But they still do it.
Well, look at this tweet real quick to get a little humor going. This is from Michael McDonald Comedy. Thoughts and prayers with Marco Rubio's programmers that they can fix the glitch in his database before it overheats from repetition. That was tweeted during the GOP debate. It is kind of like a robot. Now, you talk about the fluoride in the water, every single thing that's culminating in attack against your biology. And it doesn't, you're right. It doesn't seem like some people care about the studies from Harvard and so on. The government has admitted it's time to lower sodium fluoride levels. It is absolutely. And if you look at a lot
they've lowered it in their government buildings, by the way.
Right.
While they keep it high in your public water supply. They lower it in the government buildings.
Well, I know a lot of different medical doctors and dentists, and they all agree sodium fluoride, there's no point of it being in the water. It has some topical benefits. It does kill bacteria when you put it on your teeth. If you like put it topically on your teeth, it can kill the bacteria. You know, maybe it's going to kill you too.
But Anthony, what about the teeth in your stomach? They need some fluoride too.
They need some fluoride too, just like they need the birth control and the antibiotics and
the
all
BPA.
Of that. The BPA. But I do think you should go to InfowarsLife.com because this whole show, this whole segment, everything is sponsored by InfowarsLife.com. Get the new product Anthroplex, which is a synergistic formulation. It works super well with Superman Vitality, but also by itself, it is a great formulation to kind of fight back against the attack. It's the baseline twice daily. It was once. We jacked it up to twice daily. Same price, same low price. And it is going to get you back to your foundation. It's going to help with your male vitality, regulate your body. And I would also recommend to check out Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine because a little birdie told me we might be selling out of that pretty soon. It can take quite a long time.
Well, and you get 15% off with Anthroplex and Superman Vitality and free shipping.
That's
if you get them together.
You get auto ship and you get an additional 10% off, which means you don't have to worry about reordering it because you're going to forget. It'll come to your door. Auto ship. You can select the amount of days. We'll be right back. Alex Jones is joining us on this broadcast to give us his breakdown.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We're
living on the edge. Living on the edge. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Anthony Gucciardi here with Rob Dew. And we've been breaking down a lot of the debate last night and the election cycles. And Alex Jones is scheduled to join us in this segment to give us his take. We're having some issues with the phone connection, but we're trying to get him on the air and online. And before we left you guys, we're talking about Marco Rubio, the robot, repeating the same thing over and over again. And then also talking about, a little bit off air, me and Rob were saying, isn't it amazing that almost none of the candidates show any emotion? Right? It's almost like...
Anthony, let us dispel the fiction that Barack Obama does not know what he is doing. He knows exactly what he is doing.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, Marco Rubio, is that you?
Let's not dispel this fiction that Barack Obama does not know what he is doing.
Well, it's pretty absurd to me, right? We were saying, really, the only two candidates are Trump and a little bit for Ben Carson that speak like a regular human being and show any emotion... and show any kind of passion. And I guess it's because we've been told, it's kind of the opposite of what we do here, we've been told to show any type of passion is bad, to show any type of emotion is bad. You have to be controlled.
Don't
you have
get
to
angry,
psychotropic
Anthony.
Drugs, and you have to sit
Calm
there in
down.
Your chair. You're not allowed to say anything.
Let's be civil.
So they think they have to sound like statesmen, and they think they have to sound all official, or Ted Cruz thinking he has to sound like, I'm very sorry to my fellow Americans. You know, it's just sound in this weird kind of fakey, plasticky way. What people want is for people to get upset.
Right. And one person who does show emotion is Chris Christie at the buffet line. I know that for a fact.
Well, hey, Chris Christie did a great job last night calling out Marco Rubio.
He did.
And actually, you know, he does show emotion, too.
Yeah.
He gets the credit. He shows emotion. He obviously has some interesting policy, but he does show emotion. And he did attack Rubio very specifically. And he doesn't seem to do any scripts.
Well, and I think he knows that Rubio is the one, the guy that they have to take down to get up to the Trump level, because they see that. So all the governors are now attacking Rubio because they know when they attack Trump, he just rises in the polls.
Well, I was also going to say, they kept saying on the news last night, why did no one attack Trump? Are they afraid of him? No, they're not afraid of him. I think it's because if they attack Trump, then Trump gets mentioned and he gets to respond, mm-hmm. which means they're just dying to not give him any more airtime and not to get smacked down by him, too. Right. So if Chris Christie, for example, said, and Donald Trump, then Donald would say, well, you heard you mentioned
my name. I get,
so I get to talk. Yeah. And then they'd have to let him respond for 30 seconds and then over and over and over again, because there was a lot of back and forth. And it's amazing to me. They let them respond like five times. It turns into like a total crap show, you may call it. Mm-hmm. Right. Where they're just bashing each other over and over again. But overall, I think the biggest thing that came out of it was Rubio's little surge of he's amazing now. Everyone worships him. Definitely got hit by a roadblock last night, because I think it seems like the media even is turning on him. They tried to push him out. Well, you know, maybe he'll finish a strong second, but overall he's definitely not climbing anymore because people realize what's going on.
Yeah. And you know, you're going to see that he'll get knocked down. I can't believe Kasich is still in at this point. I don't know where his money's coming from. The guy is a total, he's been polling at 0.0.0 for the last, well, since he started. Now, you know, nobody cares. Why is he still on the stage?
And then they had him on, I don't remember if it was ABC or CNN or whatever it was, one of the post shows.
They had a few of them on together.
But they had Kasich.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you know, you could pull this together and there's still a lot of hope. And he's like, yeah, we're in this to win it and all this stuff. And it's like, what are you talking about?
You're in it to attack Donald Trump. That's why he's in there. He's there to step on the barbed wire, fall on the barbed wire against the Donald Trump attacks. But he said he would get out if New Hampshire, he's smoked in New Hampshire, which he will be, obviously. But people need to be worried about this radioactivity spike in your groundwater in New York. I mean,
that's true.
York,
a lot of this should be worried. A lot of this is distraction.
Yeah.
What is it? 65,000% increased radiation spike in New York City.
Yeah.
Groundwater.
It's ridiculous. It's one of our top stories on InfoWars. It's in the.
Why don't you read a little bit about that?
Yeah, let me bring it up real quick.
Because you notice that no one talks about that kind of stuff.
No, that's never.
It is kind of all a little bit of a distraction thing with the election cycle, where it's all just kind of talk and it doesn't necessarily equate to much. But things like this is what you should really be concerned about. Radioactivity increasing nearly 65,000%.
Yeah. Health and Environment Commissioners were ordered by Governor Cuomo to begin an investigation into the leak of radioactive tritium contaminated water at the Indian Point nuclear power plant after an operator raised the alarm. Thank goodness we have people out there who can raise the alarm. He didn't just sit on it. He was probably told not to raise the alarm several times.
And I'm surprised this is being published.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the three wells in question had radioactivity levels increasing nearly 65,000%. On total, the company reported alarming latest levels of radioactivity at three monitoring wells.
Well, my question is, will this be the next Flint? Right.
Well, it's got to be race. It can only be Flint if it's racist. You know,
that's true.
It can only if minorities are getting attacked, then we can talk about it as being racist.
That's kind of where I was going with it.
Yeah.
Is it's sad that it has to be a politically charged issue, because Fukushima is super ignored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still radiation being pumped out. A third of all the radiation initially went into the Pacific Ocean. The radioactive cesium went into the Pacific Ocean, smashed up against the West Coast, goes into the United States.
Japan just had a volcano go off near a nuclear power plant. I mean, they can't buy a break for anything at this point.
They really can't. Well, they also built it on all of the fault lines near the ocean. So maybe
they don't have much room other than the fault lines in the ocean.
Well, maybe they should have just reconsidered the whole thing.
Exactly.
But I mean, it was well known that Fukushima was built in a very bad spot.
It's been powered by samurai blades.
It's been powered by samurai blades. But, I mean, they also said 1.5 times the actual radiation was released than what they originally said.
Of course.
Goes into the Pacific Ocean, yeah. Kills everything off,
right.
Pumps into the air. There's just radioactive waste going
Gets
everywhere.
In your sushi.
No one cares. And it's almost like the more important something is, the less people care about it. It is true, though. The media, obviously, if it bleeds, it leads, that kind of stuff, but has devolved into this weird thing where the media is like the Super Bowl, where it's like, actually, we should get couches. This is an idea I was discussing with a friend. We should have couches. Everyone gets a couch in the United States, and it's like Facebook. There's a button, dislike and like. So a big red button that just says dislike, and a big green button is like. And then everything that happens, they just sit there with like things into their mouth, like for their sodium fluoride water into their mouth. And they have like glasses on that they can't look to the right, like blinders, like horses. And they just watch their television and they just sit it. And like, let's say the team they're disliking is winning. It's like, dislike, dislike, and then something happens, like a girl comes on with like a breast job, they're like, you know, there's just like these people just sitting in chairs all day.
That's exactly how PR firms do their market research.
And that's how voting happens. Yeah, that's how voting happens.
So it shows, they put the drops in your eyes so you can't blink.
Right, but they show Donald Trump, and they're like, this guy's bad. He's mean to Jeb Bush. Dislike. And that's how we get our policy.
Jeb Bush's mommy says he's good.
Laura Bush, Barbara Bush, I'm sick of Donald Trump. This is from Infowars.com.
We're sick of your whole family, lady.
In an interview with CNN, former First Lady Barbara Bush, mother to presidential candidate Jeb Bush, reveals she doesn't think much of her son's opponent, billionaire Donald Trump. Really?
Oh, yeah. Let's go to the clip. Let's hear the old.
Let's play the clip.
Please.
You dodged me on Donald Trump. Do you want to? No. You want to go full New Jersey?
No. No. I do not. I don't even think about it. I'm sick of him.
I'm sick of him.
That's very strong.
Wow, that's very strong.
And didn't Jeb say he'd die for his daddy?
I'd kill for
my father. I'd go to jail.
Trump shot back this morning.
This is some weird people.
Saying that Jeb brought in mommy to slap him. He says, Trump's quotes are hilarious sometimes. Wow, Jeb Bush, whose campaign is a total disaster, had to bring in mommy to take a slap at me. Not nice. Already has 13,000 likes and 4,940 retweets. Man, I got to tell you, what a wild circus we are experiencing, right? Just watching all the debates, the Republican debate, the Democratic debate, it's a huge circus.
I just think how boring it would be if Trump wasn't in there. That's true. A snooze fest. Although we'd probably see Rand Paul would have been a little bit higher in the polls, even though he's dropped out at this point. But, I mean, he's the only thing that's kept it at least interesting from a person who likes to stand back and just laugh at the entire system.
Yes,
who continually votes libertarian.
I do laugh at the entire system. Imagine the viewership on a Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be great. But I really think the American people need a Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders debate, because you will see capitalism versus socialism, and you won't have a guy who's trying to act presidential and like a statesman. You have a guy like Trump who's going to come out and
perfect. Bernie tells it how he thinks it is.
That's the debate America needs, because are we going to let the millennials take over and give us everything for free?
Hey, which Bernie doesn't use a teleprompter, man. He sits up there and he just speaks. He doesn't even care. He doesn't even try to sound like anything.
Right.
He doesn't even try to sound statesmanly at all. He just doesn't care.
But can you imagine if both systems are uncloaked? Because capitalism has some work, and especially the crony capitalism version of it.
Well, it's
that needs to be. We need to get rid of that.
We're in a state of hijacked capitalism. Right.
But people think socialism is the answer, and they don't know what it's going to be like. We need to get more people on that have lived in these socialist utopias.
Yeah,
and see how great it was.
I think only a small percentage actually would say, yes, I like socialism. They just like Bernie's whole idea, and then they don't understand what he's leading them into.
They don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I'm going to open up my refrigerator. There'll be some food and some college education.
Dislike.
Lots of college education.
Look, this is a message to everyone that is watching this program. Thank you for choosing something more meaningful and impactful and important in your life than watching the Super Bowl. Just for that, I double salute you. You are the reason we're making a difference. It's not bad to watch Super Bowl, but come on, man. Commit yourself to something that matters, like the fight for this planet. Anthony Gucciardi, Rob Dew, signing off The Alex Jones Show.